I spent quite a little time at the end of my career in the Army before I had to come back in French Vietnam.
Oh.
Well, it was French really to begin with, and then it shifted, and then we later became there in war. But when I was there, it was sort of ancillary. We had some people there, but not too many. We didn't develop a big military establishment.
Mm.
And I got to see some of the Dutch Indies.
Uh-huh.
I went to... that was just when the Japanese were surrendering. I can just remember, I went from Calcutta with two friends of mine and sort of colleagues. We were all majors. And one was a water control, one water supply man. The other was a veterinarian who was in charge of inspecting meat and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And myself, who was a malariologist. All right, we three went to a hospital in the Dutch East Indies just as the Japanese are surrendering.
Mm.
And I remember the one from, who was the water expert. He goes up to a Japanese colonel or some important military man, you know. He said, now dethroned, so to speak. And he points to his sword, you know, he has here.
Yes.
Give it to me. And this guy looks at him, you know, but he's just been...
He's just demoted. Been
dethroned. Yeah. So he takes it out and gives it to him. I thought, how did that guy have the nerve to take a sword away from a high-ranking Japanese officer?
Gee.
Well, that's the sort of thing you came on, you know.
Yeah.
And I was in Saigon. I got there, and it was still recently. The soldiers, the Japanese soldiers, still were armed. They had their rifles, guns.
Hey, yeah.
And they're walking around, you know. Right, I'm getting there very early on.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Which is interesting. But they were all docile. There was no
show. They didn't do anything. There was no threat, huh?
But there was a lot of problems between the French and the British and the natives. The natives there. They were... in a state of uprising, and I got caught with, I had my little crew of people, I had about four or five guys who were, they were sanitarians, and uh-huh. What they did was to come along with me, and we made assessments about how much equipment they needed, how many supplies uh-huh. they would need.
You need some assistance then.
Yes, you need a laboratory helper and so on. And I had about four or five guys that were attached to me just mm-hmm. to do these things, and they were with me, and they were quite alarmed at this, you know. Seeing Japanese soldiers running around without
any
control.
But I guess they never need to be concerned.
No, not at all, yeah. And then I let them get out, and I stayed over a little bit in Saigon, and then I got pretty sticky.
Mm.
And a whole group of all of the military intelligence men were there.
Mm.
In Saigon, I couldn't believe it. Military intelligence was stricter then than I suppose it is now. I don't know whether they have military intelligence anymore. At that time, they did.
Yeah.
It was very interesting, and they were all there. One of the guys said to me, you know, I was the only other American around as far as I could tell, and I also had a hard time getting out of the place because we sort of stopped our usual runs, you know, and I wanted to get out and get over to Bangkok.
Yeah.
And so I think he was maybe lieutenant colonel or a major, I've forgotten. Well, he was the son of one of the justices, chief justices, or in the, you know, in the Supreme Court. And he was trying to get out of the place and getting back to someplace known to him. And so they took a jeep, and they had a driver, and they went, and they had the road blockaded with pointed bamboo. It's just like this, you know, up, and this guy gets waylaid and killed. Shot.
Wow.
The driver, both of them.
Really?
Killed.
Really?
The lieutenant colonel was the son of one of the justices of the Supreme Court. So that made me think, how am I going
to
get out of this place?
Really, you know, had to
it was interesting to do it. I got out with the help of a Canadian, Australian, just two of them, and they were using this small plane. It was like a C-46, or, you know, something like that, you know. And we, and I hopped a ride with them.
Oh, did
and
you?
I got back.
Thank goodness.
I got back to Bangkok, and but it was the most interesting trip I ever had, because it was flying over that dense forest in Vietnam. You have no idea how dense it is. You can look down and you see nothing.
See nothing except green.
Just the tree.
Those
just
are the
treetops. Just the treetops. Nothing below, and one ancient city in dilapidated ruins by a big lake that was right in the center of it. And I flew over that thing about three or four times eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there, and you know, the these guys are wild, these flyers. And we got into Siam after hours of flying over the forest, and a storm developed. And they didn't know whether to go up or down. So finally they went up, and then they ran out of oxygen.
Oh, no.
So then we had to come down. Again, we ran, you know, and then
no.
You had all of the rumpus of the low altitude. There were water buffaloes and cattle and everybody flying in all directions, but this plane was so close.
You
to
were flying that low?
That low. I was so glad that we ever got where we were going. So, you know, you had every kind of episode would happen to you. It was just fun.
Boy, it sounds like you had a lifetime of excitement packed into few years there.
I went back to Siam also, to Vietnam. I stayed in Saigon.
Uh-huh.
It's a nice place.
It's a,
I never got up
to be a beautiful
the north.
City.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go up north, but I never got there. But I did get, I went to Saigon, and the Opera House had been, an American bomber had dropped a bomb right in the middle of it, and it was decimated on the inside.
Sure. Yeah.
But that was what had happened, and I got and stayed in a nice hotel there, a gorgeous hotel, like a spa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they ran out of food because we were blockaded about that time, and it's quite an adventure, isn't it? We were eating soup and beans.
It sounds as if you really did. You had so much exciting stuff happen to you during that time period. Were you bored when you got home?
No, never, never.
I mean,
when
you got
home,
back?
Yeah, it was hard to replace. That's why I stayed on a little. I just wanted to see a little more.
Uh-huh.
I got to Tokyo that way.
Uh-huh.
I'd never been to Tokyo. And
really go around.
I wanted to go there. And then from Tokyo, I went to the city on the other side in China. What's the name of it? It's the big city, seaport town. That doesn't matter.
Well, let's see here.
It's
a small map, but maybe we can find it.
Where is it? Where's Tokyo?
Tokyo is going to be down here.
Mm-hmm. an interesting place, an interesting seaport town. Now, all I remember. I didn't care for it too much, but let me tell you something else. Seeing it from the standpoint, I was on a plane. This is much later, and I came from Honolulu to I went to Guam, and from Guam I there were some other islands that had been taken and restored to the United States, and I forgot those names of them. But from Guam, and then to Shanghai, and there was hardly anyone on the plane, and there was a man who was sitting near where I was, and there were empty seats all over. This is a military plane, and he said he came up. Sat down beside me and said, "Would you mind if I sat with you because I'm lonely?" He said, "There's nobody else to talk with." I said, "Well, sure, sit down and we'll chat." And we had a lot of things to talk about because he worked for a sugar company, a corporation. I wouldn't know the names of it now.
Like CNH or one of those?
Yeah, one of the big ones. And he was sort of an engineer. Was civilian, had nothing to do with the army, but he had a chance to go on the plane, so he took it, and he said, "I'm going to see the vice president of China when I'm in Shanghai." He said, "Would you like to come along?"
Huh?
I said, "Yeah, that would be interesting." I didn't know.
Wow.
So I go, and the doctor. Sun? You know that...
S-U-N-G? S-U-N?
Maybe S-U-N, I think. Dr. Sun, he was vice president of China. Now, who would have been president? It would have been Chiang Kai-shek.
Mm-hmm.
And then you remember all the sisters there were in the family. Dr. Sun's was vice president, and he lived in Shanghai, and it was in a beautiful home in a city block. He had the whole block, and the engineer said, "So I'll take you along. I want you to meet the vice president."
Meet the vice president and the family.
And he wanted to get a lease on some island. I never heard whether he did that or not, but I finally lost track, you see. He left, I never saw him. I went there and so they prepared tea,
mm-hmm.
And Dr. Sun had a study, and that was one house in a whole block. And garages, and they had Packard cars. I remember going in a Packard, and then later they invited me back, and he said they sent the chauffeur in the car for me at the hotel I was staying one that night, and I had dinner, and I had dinner, and all the family had sort of reunited, and there were students from Berkeley. And there were these were cousins and all kinds of extended family. Some from they were envoys to various islands and countries. They were in the diplomatic corps, and a lot of them were there at that night, and they had this beautiful home, and I. When I first went in there, we met Dr. Sun, and then they had a little conference and a study about the advisability and so on. I never heard whether they came to an agreement or not. Didn't matter from my standpoint. So, and I was waiting there for him to be through with tea and so on, and his mother comes out, Madame Soon, you know, she was his mother, Dr. Soon, and this is, she was important. She was a woman who was not only his mother, but was the mother in that family in a big way, you know. And she comes out, you know, and her feet are bound, and she just hobbles, you know, and she's about this tall.
Oh, hobbles.
And they had chairs that had, you know, they were up, way up like this, you know. And she got on the side like this and pulled herself up on the chair and sat down, and her feet were hanging over here. Oh, that was the most interesting experience. And then when I got, and they invited me back, and they took me from the hotel, you know, usual chauffeur. And then, what they did was, they had a big dinner, and then they had a grand piano at one end of the room, and then this huge table that was meant for the extended family, and this great big lazy Susan in the middle, you know. And then they all sat around the table, and these, I've talked especially with one girl who was a student at Berkeley, and she liked to talk, and she spoke very good English, and she was crazy about music. And of course, that's one of my great favorites, particularly.
That's one of your
I love that. So and we had this wonderful conversation, and it was just a lot of fun, and it was a nice
family. It was a real treat
for you. Oh, it was, yeah. Yeah, here's the guy who's goes to Cuba to be a representative of China. What would he be?
A diplomat?
So he had a good position, envoy, or
regular. So did you ever have any contact with any of those relatives?
Never again.
It was just that one event. Huh?
That's the way it was in the word.
Yeah.
But they were so enthusiastic, and of course a lot of them spoke English.
Yeah.
Some
very well educated.
Yeah, well educated, very smart, and I felt tremendously uplifted by that, because they were nice people.
Yeah. And honored also probably to have been with them as well.
It really was.
That was very nice.
Yeah, we had animated talks about who's the better composer or something. Laugh at how far we get away from from what we normally are being doing.
That's right.
Doing.
That's right.
I stayed in a French hotel one time and ran out of food, and we only had a little soup left.
Uh-huh.
We got caught in that. And the Vietnamese people was what interested me. They're like the natives in any country. Natives in India, out of the way places, you know, that you don't normally go to, and they were not friendly with the French, especially. And I don't think that the French were getting along too well at that time.
No, I don't think that they were they?
No. And there was the problem also of the Japanese being imminent as winners of that war. Yeah.